good to be in his presence, Jesus' presence, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And we want to enjoy Jesus today. And it's so wonderful that he loves us and cares for us. Well, in the college, we are beginners. We're just learning about Jesus. Of course, you have heard at home, many of them. But we are hearing about salvation. And this time, mostly also about we need to change. We need to have a changed heart. And so that's our theme this time. And the Lord has been coming to us already. And it's wonderful. And I remember days back in the college, sometimes the Lord came so mighty and wonderful, kids just stood up on their own, raised arms, and the Lord blessed them. And so we are expecting much these coming days. Now the first week is always more a learning week. And we're learning our memory and we're learning some chords and so on. But we're putting them to practice. And by the time we are leaving, we know exactly what we need. So when we have something that is going to be choruses, Bible verses, somebody is reading, and if you follow, especially the village, follow it. That's exactly what we are learning and teaching at the college this time again. And the main thing that they get to know Jesus. And when they go home, that they learn to love him and learn to follow him. And that's our desire, that they really follow Jesus. So when we do this, it's which points do we start with God, Adam and Eve, and then we go down because sin came into the world, and then because of that, we're sinners. How do we get rid of sin and so on? And then, but how do we continue? That's the main thing. Once we're saved, we don't want to continue the way we before lived. We want to change. We don't want to lie anymore. We want to tell the truth. So those are the lessons we're learning with the Christ. And so we're going to let you know what we do.
Gave them a soul, or a heart, and their own free will. Their heart was perfect without any sin. Adam and Eve were happy people and enjoyed their fellowship with God. All was harmony and peace. But God has an enemy, Satan. Satan did not like this harmony and happiness, and found a way to trick Adam and Eve to do wrong and disobey God. Sin, or doing wrong, separates us from God. So Adam and Eve had to leave this place of happiness and fellowship with God. For the first time, their heart was not perfect anymore. Sin had come in.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23.
God, who knew this would happen, had a marvelous plan, the plan of salvation. He was going to send his son into the world to die for our sins.
God so loved the world that he gave his only son to save the world through him. John 3:16-17.
And then one day Jesus came into this world to take away our sins. Although he suffered a cruel death, he knew he would rise again in great triumph and return to his Father in heaven.
Christ died for our sins. He was buried and raised on the third day. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4.
Jesus not only died for our sins, but he also wants to cleanse us from our sins and live in our hearts. How do we open our heart's door? What do we have to do?
Repent of your sins and believe the good news. Mark 1:15. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9.
As soon as our heart is cleansed from sin, Jesus enters with His Holy Spirit and would like to be the King of our heart. How can He become our King? We spend time with Jesus, we pray, read His Word, and trust and obey Him. Then our heart will change. More of Jesus and less of self, and finally, all of Jesus. God has an enemy, Satan, who does not like a heart that is cleansed. He will try very hard to tempt us to do wrong. He also will try to keep us away from reading God's Word, to pray to Jesus, or to go to the house of God.
Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. 1 Peter 5:8-9.
We are not able to resist the enemy in our own strength, but our faith and trust is in Jesus, our mighty King. Through the power of His Holy Spirit, He will help us to do right, using the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit.
There is victory for me.
Continue to walk with Jesus, the narrow road, we will change and become more like Jesus. Though the battle between doing good or bad and between doing God's will or my own will continue till we reach the heavenly city and live with our King Jesus forever and ever in perfect harmony and peace.
Amen.
Thank you so much. What a good message. Message of salvation. Giving our lives to Jesus. How do you feel when little children know verses by memory that you don't know? It's inspiring, isn't it?
Yes.
Praise God. Well, Lord, we pray that you'll bless our cottagers and all those that work with them, our sister Antia, and the other counselors. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these precious lives. And we thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is revealing Christ to them. Lord, they need to meet you themselves, to know you. Get hold of their hearts, Lord. Let these words, these truths that they're learning, penetrate, take root, and bring forth fruit throughout their lives, Lord. Keep them for yourself, every one, by your precious blood. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
I would like to say something, just add something very quick. We're using a book that's called Teddy's Button. If anybody has young children, that's a wonderful book to learn about salvation and how to change and how you get to this point to really want your sins to be forgiven. And then, really, it's the banner of love to hold over. That means we show our love.
It's been around for a long time. Wonderful message. Praise God. Let's sing number 358. Brother John Munsinger will speak to us this morning as well. So, after the song, please, Brother John. 358. Let's stand together. Let's make it our prayer as we sing. Chorus that says, rule in my heart, rule in my heart, thou King of my heart, Lord Jesus. Make this thy throne, rule thou alone. Rule in my own, King of my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's see if we can sing that as well.
Rule in my heart.
It's a pleasure to be here with you in another camp season, and to hear the worship that goes forth from this place, the hearts that have been changed, and the joy that has been brought into every life. I'm again impressed by you cottagers. What, have you been here now a whole year? You spent the winter here? Did you? No? 4 days, huh? And you learned all that in 4 days. Wow, that was quite a nice recitation and very enjoyable. And as Brother Kenny pointed out, great things to learn and to know and to have deep in your heart. I did notice that Brother Kenny had to read his part. And you didn't have to read your part.
I was over here one day.
Yeah, okay. I'll be honest with you, if I were in Brother Kenny's place, I would have had to read my part too. And I congratulate you. But you know, as Brother Kenny said earlier, the most important thing is that it goes deep into your heart, and that's really our prayer. Some years ago, a man wrote a book, and he wrote it, I guess, somewhat, as we say, tongue-in-cheek. But the title of the book was The Most Important Things I Learned in Kindergarten. And he goes into describing the fact that he learned how to turn his sleeves right side out, and how he learned to share, and how he learned to be kind, and all these things that were important life lessons. And I want to tell you that some of the most important things you've learned in life, you learned in these last 4 days, and will continue to learn during the next week. And so that's our prayer for all of you, that God will allow these truths to go deep into your heart and to bear fruit throughout your entire lives. I want to just share a few minutes with you from Psalm 66, if I may. I won't be long, if I know you're anxious to hear the villagers do their recitation. But I do want to share these thoughts with you. Psalm 66 is what we call a psalm of praise. It is one of those psalms that exalts the Lord and testifies to His goodness and to His mercies. We sang before, "Great is Thy faithfulness," and we are rejoicing in God's goodness to us as a camp, for example. My, how good God has been to us. Another year to celebrate His goodness, another time to be in His presence. But this is a psalm that starts out by saying, "Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious." That's a nice admonition, isn't it? That our praise should be glorious, not half-hearted, and not a drudgery, not something that we do mechanically, but something that really comes from the depths of our hearts to exalt His name and to shout His praises. But the verses that I want to draw to your attention are verses 10, 11, and 12. Because after the psalmist describes all the wondrous works of God, the things that his people have experienced, he says these things. He says, "For you, O God, have proved us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment." Those words struck me recently as we were studying this psalm in our Sunday school, particularly the way it's expressed in the newer translations, the English Standard Version. It talks about being tested. "For you, O God, have tested us, put you through a test." I don't suppose there is a person in this place, at least an adult, who hasn't experienced a time of testing in their lives, gone through some experiences which were puzzling and which caused them to cry out to God for help. And here the psalmist brings that in as part of his praise to God, that God took him through some deep waters and took him through some trying times. He says, "You have tried us as silver is tried." Now, silver is tried in a very hot furnace. You remember how Job was tried, what the experiences he had. But he was able to say that when he got through that experience, he would come forth as gold. You see, God sometimes allows these experiences to be ours to make us better, to improve us, to make us more like him. Silver, I think, has a melting point of about 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. And in case you don't know, that's pretty hot. That's very hot. And it gets melted. Then the impurities come to the surface, and all the impurities are taken away. He says, "You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs." Does God do that? I thought burdens are lifted at Calvary. Well, they are. They are. But sometimes God takes us through these experiences that feel as though it's a heavy load to carry and difficult for us to carry. And he calls it a crushing burden on our backs. He says, "You let men rise over our heads." Mean things, I guess, were done to this psalmist. You ever have mean things done to you at school or in your neighborhood or by other people? Sometimes God allows that to happen to us. We don't always have pleasant experiences. You let these men rise over our heads. We went through fire and through water. I wonder what this psalmist was talking about. But then, and this is the part that really struck me, because it says, "You have brought us out to a place of abundance." You see, God doesn't leave us in these trying circumstances. He puts us through experiences to better us, to purify us, to help us, to strengthen us, to make us all that he wants us to be. And then, at the end of it, we come out to a place of rich abundance because God is the one who provides that abundance in our lives. He blesses us richly, and we want to experience not only the good times, but also the trying times, and thank him for that also. To bless his name, to rejoice in him, to make his praise glorious. The psalmist ends by saying, "Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy for me. Great is thy faithfulness." God hears our prayers when we cry out to him in these moments of trying and affliction, and we trust in him to bring us through. He brings us to a place of abundance. And that's my word of encouragement today. If you're going through an experience that is puzzling, that is difficult, that is testing your faith and testing your patience and testing everything about you, cry out to God. Keep trusting Him, because He will bring us all to that place of abundance that only He can bring us to. God bless you.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.
When we walk with the
lessons I learned in the primary department. Trust and obey. I'm still learning, aren't you? Now we're going to hear from Sister Mary and the young ladies in the village. Looking forward to that as well.